Verses 12 through 18. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for just another chance to come together to worship you, Lord, to just hear from you, God. We just ask that your Spirit come and guide and direct this time, Lord, that you will just show us your way. In your name we pray. Amen. As I was reading this passage over the last couple of days, or last couple, like yesterday and today actually, there's a few things that really jumped out at me. And so actually, middle November, I had to fly home because my mom got really sick. And so I was spending a lot of time, well, not a lot. I picked up my sister's kids a few times when my sister was with my mom. And I was on my break, which really meant just watching my sister's kids so she could be with my mom. But I would go to the school and I'd pick up her kids. But her youngest kid in school has to get picked up 20 minutes before the older kids get out of school. And so you're just kind of sitting there in the lobby waiting. And I was watching these kids, and it's so interesting. You can tell who are the leaders at a school. Right? I think it's very easy to see who leaders are in children. Not as much in adults. I think you can start to figure it out, but adults, it can actually be more hidden. But with kids, you can't hide the leaders. And tragically, I think in general, kid leaders tend not to be good leaders when they're little. Normally, what I see with leadership with little kids is they, for some reason, are able to get their friends to do the things they're not supposed to do, you know? And I was watching my niece, and she was following some kids, and it's because it was Thanksgiving time, and they were collecting food, right? And so they were playing in the collected food to give out for food baskets, right? And overall, they were okay, but it's so interesting. You can see children who are the leaders, and I think it's the same here at church. I know who the leaders are. Now, I think it shifts. Somewhere around third grade, that naughtiness, I would call it, there's a shift that happens. But for some reason, I've noticed, it's not a whole always, but with kids, the leaders, because they need to be taught how to be leaders. They don't know how to be leaders yet, but they have these kids following them, and there's this power that kind of seeps into them a little bit. But, you know, I was looking at this, talking about, you know, honor, appreciate those who labor among you, those who have charge over you. And this idea of leadership, it's not just a title. You know, like a second grader, a first grader, you're not typically going to have a title as a leader. You're just a leader, but you don't even know it usually. A title does not make you a true leader. And not having a title doesn't mean you're not a leader either. There's this concept, the true leader is when the church recognizes you and you're functioning in those God-given gifts and talents. There's something that happens. And I think one of the things we need to remember is to give thanks and to pray for those who lead us and have led us. You know, and it doesn't have to be that. I mean, yes, obviously we should be PSAM, you know, and our ministry leaders, of course. But it's also those other people who've come alongside us, who have encouraged us, who've walked with us, and they don't have a name or a title in the church or at work. They're just faithfully serving and guiding you. They're leading you. Now, yes, I mean, this is definitely about those in charge over you, but it's also about appreciating those who have diligently labored among you. You know, we just had our teachers' appreciation on Sunday, and we had more food than we knew what to do with. I mean, so many people brought so much food home. But there's something about setting aside time to appreciate those who serve in this house, that serve you. You know, I think oftentimes we don't You know, in our culture, we that fake humility, like, no, it's not me. But there's something, and we don't want to puff people up where they think it's about them either. But when we really give honor, it encourages the person. It encourages them to continue serving, to realize that, you know, they are appreciated. You know, God does give us this, you know, God likes being appreciated. He doesn't need it, but he does like it, right? You can tell, like scripture talks about giving praise to God over and over and over again. It's an appreciation to God. And that's part of who we are as well, that we crave appreciation because it helps continue to encourage us to go on. You know, we're also in this passage, we're taught to seek good. We are called to do good, to guide people to do what is right. But it talks about doing it in patience, to be patient. And I think, I was thinking about that this whole morning in the taxi, as I was sitting here, as I was getting ready this morning, this idea of patience. And I think it could potentially be the hardest part of being a Christian. I think being patient could be, not necessary for everybody, but think about who is it that gives you the hardest time that you're working with. Right? When you're serving along somebody and you just can't stand them, how hard it is to be patient. If you really start to think about it, those people who just continually mess up over and over and over again, how easy is it really for us to be patient as we're ministering to them, as we're working? It's much easier to want to snap at them. It's much easier to want to be like, what's wrong with you? Right? And I think at some point, those are also things that need to happen where you call out what they're doing. I mean, that's very important. But how you do it, that inner side, are you going crazy inside? Is it coming out of you? You know, and being patient. I mean, there's lots of difficult parts about being a Christian, good things. But I think being patient is one of the hardest things. And it's not, he doesn't say just be patient with those who like, just be patient with your brothers and sisters, be patient with everyone. I don't know about you, but being patient with everyone. If you're a parent, are you patient with your children? You know, sometimes when I'm with the kids here at church or with my nieces and nephews or when I was a teacher, patience was not what I was known for, you know? And it's one of those things you have to always be calling yourself back into check. Am I doing this out of my internal angst or anger or impatience, the way I'm ministering to this person? Or am I doing this out of a place of love, out of peace? Am I trying to get them to a place they're not ready for yet? You know, you think about little kids when they're learning to walk. You know, apparently I started walking at like 8 or 9 months. And so I remember as a kid, my mom told me that. So I just assumed all children could walk by 8 or 9 months old. But you know, sometimes they're 15 months old, you know, and if you try to get a kid to walk before they're ready, they're not going to be able to do it, right? Or it could have other long-term effects on them. And so I think being patient and knowing when to release people into being able to do the race, not by themselves, but on their own, you know, especially in this millennial culture where people just seem to be struggling in ways different than the past generations. Every generation's had their struggles. Every generation probably has been looked at by the previous generation as being problematic in their own ways. You know, my mom's generation was the hippie generation, and I could tell that when I interact with her friends that some of them are still very strong hippies in their way they think, right? And people look down on them. But how do we continue to walk with that? See, true Christianity is not about working with perfect people, but it's about learning to serve and minister with people and to people who are not perfect. You know, I read that quote, and I can't remember who it was from, and I was thinking about that. I was like, it's easy to be like, yeah, I'm ministering to people who aren't perfect. But when you're ministering alongside people who aren't perfect, it becomes, for me, more frustrating. Like, I don't expect the kids to be perfect. Right? But I have a higher standard for the teachers, you know? And so it's kind of one of these things. How do we learn to work alongside one another? And it's patience. We are called to correct people, to build them up. That's part of the body of Christ. We're called to help the weak and hold them up, but not to be their forever crutch. You know, I was thinking about my mom, because she had open heart surgery. And so, you know, that first week, she needed help with everything, like going to the bathroom, sitting up, you know. But at some point, when do you just stand back and allow her to stand up on her own? When do you allow her to go into the bathroom by herself without fear of her falling over? You know, and I was thinking and think about that with people as they mature in faith. When do we learn to let go? You know, and it has to be the Holy Spirit leading us. You know, we aren't letting them go by themselves, because as the body of Christ, we are never supposed to walk this faith alone. But when do we stop being there always trying to remind and guide and hope and pray that they learn the lessons, that they're maturing in their faith? You know, there's going to be times that as the body, we are called to be leaned upon, where people need us. And there are going to be times that we need to remember that we need others to lean on. It goes both ways. And so learning even for yourself when you need support, when you need help from the community, is part of maturing. And as we grow, we need to learn not to just hold on to people, especially if you are a leader, if you're a house church leader, a pastor, a ministry leader, a parent, any sort of leader with a title or not. There is something about knowing when you have to let them go to make those mistakes or to grow on their own, but yet be there when they're ready to be caught again when they make those mistakes. And I think, yeah, I was really thinking about if you are on that more mature side, sometimes you can start to think you don't need help from other people. But that actually is a sign of weakness when you think you can do everything yourself. When you're always thinking you can do all by yourself, right? And here, Paul is telling us, be there, support those people who are weak. Walk with them, help them, correct them. Do it in patience. Paul goes on to say, give thanks in all times. Give praise in all times. This does not mean in bad situations we give thanks for what's been bad that happened to us. Right? P-Sam or whoever preached on healing. Right? And it doesn't mean we give thanks for this sickness. But even when we're sick, we're called to give praise to God. Even when we're not doing well, we're called to give praise to God. You know, thinking about when you're sick, you can be grateful when the community comes around you. That peace that God gives you during that time, the healing that comes. So though we may not be thankful and give praise for the illness, right? But we can give thanks and praise for everything else that's going on. In all circumstances, we're called to rejoice. We're called to give praise. In every aspect of our life, we're supposed to be living a life of gratitude. Even non-believers, you know, November is Thanksgiving, right, in the States. And so everyone around this, not everyone, but many people are taking that time to remember what they're grateful for, believers or not. And they've proven psychologically, those who are grateful people are happier people. The more grateful you are, right, there's something about it. You start focusing more on the good. And your focus, you know, instead of being your glass is half empty, your glass becomes half full or completely full, whatever it may be. And there's something about learning to give praise. But see, the difference between Christians and non-Christians, we know who we are grateful to and for what. We know that our primary source of gratitude is to the one who's given us all. You know, and that when we continually praise God, it's not about God being this selfish ruler above us who just wants all this praise and glory. It's because God knows that we have this deep need for connection with Him. And as we praise Him and as we honor Him and we glorify God, it's a reminder of all that He has done for us, all that we have to be thankful for, even in the midst of difficult times. And finally, in this portion, Paul talks about pray without ceasing. You know, I was I just had that the kids got baptized, right? And I do a 5-week class with them. And we are talking about praying. And I was telling them, you know, when we fold our hands, close our eyes, those are great, but it's nowhere in scripture. You're not going to find it in the Bible that you need to close your eyes, right? Other religions, it's very specific how you pray. You know, you bow, you do all these things. You're not going to find in scripture that you have to do those things. But part of the reasons we teach us that is it's to help us focus, right? If your hands are folded, you're not touching other things and getting distracted. If your eyes are closed, you're not seeing what's going on around you so you can stay focused. You know, and so it's patterns to teach us. And so I was just joking with the kids, you know, pray all the time, but when you learn to drive, please make sure if you're praying, your eyes are open. And they thought that was quite funny. But when we're praying, those are just customs of prayer. True prayer is communicating with God. You know, Ealing was talking to me. She's like, you know, when I first started working with you, I had to learn whether you were just talking out loud to yourself or if you were talking to me, because she would hear me talk. I talk out loud to myself. It's just, I hear what I'm thinking. It's how I process. You know, if I live alone, there's no one to talk to, so you just talk to yourself, right? But I was thinking about that. The truth is, as we're talking and having that dialogue shouldn't be with ourselves. It should be with God. Prayer is not just, you know, the 5-finger prayer where you supplicate, where you confess. Those are all good things. It's just this continued conversation with God. You know, in your heart, out loud, in your mind, you're just talking throughout your day, as you're journeying, as you are living life, you are just talking and talking with God. You know, as you have to make a decision on a project at work, is it your neighbor, your colleague that you first turn to, or is it God? And then obviously you use those around you as well, right? Who are you having that inner dialogue with? You know, I'm doing this project for seminary, and I have to interview 10 non-Christians. And so then you have to pick your demographic. And so I chose, because I thought this would be the easiest to find enough people, locally educated Hong Kong people. There's a lot of them. And I was interviewing my friend, and I've known her since 2003, and she's not a believer, but it was interesting as I was going, it's a worldview question. And one of the questions is, what is our source of human problems, right? So what is the source of all the problems in the world? And most people say selfishness, right? Most people I've interviewed say selfishness. One person said insecurity. You're insecure with yourself. But my friend, who is not a believer, said the devil. And I was thinking to myself, how interesting. You are not a believer. And she's clear about that. She's not saying there isn't a God out there, but she's not a believer. But she was talking to me and she was sharing and she was saying, there has to be something else outside of ourselves that convinces us to do wrong. And she was really stuck. She goes, for lack of a better word, it's the devil. And she wasn't saying the devil made me do it, but she's like, there's something outside of myself that pushes me and speaks to me to do things that I know are not right. But at the same time, for us believers, we know that God is in us and he's encouraging us to do what is right. And we have him to speak to and to listen to. We have him to be grateful to. You know, and so as I asked Matthew to come up this morning, I really want us to reflect on two things. Are we, I'm going to say patient, but what is your, as a Christian, your personal greatest struggle? What is the hardest thing for you when ministering to other people? You know, ask God to reveal that to you. Ask God to show you why. And finally, whose voice are you listening to and talking to? Is it yourself? Is it your friends? Or is it God? And really just spend time asking God to open your ears to hear him so clearly.
Thank you. You are my strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, let's just express our thankfulness again for the price he paid on the cross. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God.
Let's just spend a few moments just praising God for what he's done in our life, what he's doing, and just the promises he has made for us. Turn to our prayer. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for God's healing hand. Let's pray for God's miracles to happen in the lives of these people. Let's pray for those who are sick but also need to meet our Savior. Let's just pray for God to just open their eyes to Him, for them to accept Him, and let's just pray for physical healing into their lives as well. Pray for those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God just to continue to bring healing into their life. And let's just pray for each of these people that they will continue to persevere in their faith. Let's pray for those who are seeking jobs. Let's just pray for God's continued provision in this season of waiting. Let's just pray that God will just bring them to the right place at the right time. Turn to our community mission focus. Let's pray for, the TV's blinking. Let's pray for SP Singapore, Spin, Spill, and SP New York. Let's pray for these leaders. Let's pray for these communities to continue to grow in faith and love. Let's pray that they will be places where people really come and know God and can encounter Him and can just continue to grow and be more like Him. Pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just pray for our leaders, our teachers. Let's pray that these kids will just know God and they'll be able to follow Him, that they will easily follow Him and accept Him. And let's pray for those who are baptized this Sunday for protection and just continue. Let's just pray that every one of our students, our kids that come into this building will have a deep revelation of who God is for them. Lift up our prayer and healing teams, IP, The Well, and River. Let's lift up their leaders. Let's just pray for continued revelation and protection for everyone involved in these ministries. And let's just pray for continued spiritual, physical, and all sorts of healing to take place in our church. Lift up our outreaches, homie. Let's pray for continued building of relationships. Let's pray for wisdom for the leaders and team. Let's just pray for more people to join this ministry. Let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's just pray that God will just continue to minister to and through the people in these groups. And let's just lift up their leaders and their hosts. And let's just pray for a good night of fellowship with one another. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our leaders. Let's just pray for peace in the city and resolution and just reconciliation. So God, we just thank you for who you are, God. We thank you that you put us in community, God, to build each other up, to lean on, God, to learn to be patient, God. And Lord, I pray as we go throughout today, Lord, that we will be able to just walk in your footsteps, follow your path, Lord. Teach us to hear your voice more each day. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time and a wonderful day.